Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Mitchell Motors with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're going to be talking lawns and gardens. This is your chance. If you have any questions dealing with lawns and gardens, don't be bashful. Give us a call, 615-893-1450. Those phone lines are open right now. We're ready to help you. Mitchell has a whole big stack of papers to come up with right answers for you. And I guess the really big exciting thing is we're just around the corner from the first farmer's market of the season.
Bart, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, the market opens.
That's about as close to being around the corner
as you
can.
Yeah, it's pretty much around the corner. One more wake up and there it is.
Tomorrow morning. And tomorrow'll be a great day. All sorts of fresh produce that you've been missing all year, you can enjoy it starting tomorrow.
Yeah, it will kick off what promises to be, at least what's expected to be a long and productive season for the market.
All righty. And starts at 7 until noon.
7 until noon every Tuesday and Friday. Once the market opens, it runs through the last Friday in October, or the last Tuesday. Anyway, October winds it up. So whichever the last one, the Friday or the Tuesday in October, however October ends.
And when you attend the farmer's market every Tuesday and Friday morning, over at the Lane Agri Park, you get Lane to Agri learn Park. Something.
Well, there is a class offered as a part of the market activities there every market day at 9 o'clock. And tomorrow, the topic, if I remember correctly, is backyard chickens. Kim Hall, my coworker there, will be instructing that class on backyard chickens at 9 o'clock there in the classroom in the community center, which is the home of the farmers market.
That is one thing that is really growing. When they started, the community started getting into chickens, I thought, well, this is a passing fad, but it has continued to explode.
A lot of folks keep a few chickens. They do.
I remember my grandparents did that when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
They had a whole lot of them.
Sure.
But it's getting back to that. Well, what is bringing the rebirth in raising chickens?
Oh, I think it's just folks like to have some hand in producing at least a portion of their own food, and that's a way to do that.
Oh, yeah. And it's great for if you have grandkids or children, they will thoroughly enjoy. Your house will suddenly be the place, the neighborhood hangout.
Yeah, it gives folks that don't have any experience being around animals like that, farm animals, if you will, there's an opportunity for them, and they don't have to necessarily be on a conventional or traditional farm per se to do that. You can keep them in a small space and be very effective in that in keeping them in places like that.
And of course, you can learn more about how to do this properly tomorrow morning at 9.
Tomorrow at 9, yeah. Lots of times, chickens that and other small critters like that, if you don't manage them right, they just become part of the food chain as far as area wildlife and so on is concerned. So you'd probably like to avoid that if you can. And, good fencing, good housing, that's all a part of managing and tending to those things. That's just a part of good animal husbandry if you're going to manage livestock of any sort.
You could even raise them if you live inside the city limits, but there are certain restrictions.
There are restrictions. A lot of municipalities have allowances for chickens and so on. The buck that I'm aware of probably discourage you from having roosters. They don't include roosters in the allowable poultry mix in a backyard flock. But somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe in Murfreesboro, for example, I think up to 8 hens per household for backyard chickens.
Now, I don't want to let people know that I listen to the Waking Crew for my educational information, but I was listening to Brian Dalton and John the other day, and they were talking about roosters.
Yeah.
And they said, I'd never heard this. They were talking about how you think that they crow at sunrise. They crow whenever, right before they're being fed. It's tied to their eating, evidently.
Oh, I don't know. It's just eating necessarily, because they'll crow in the middle of the day too. But yeah,
in the middle of the day also.
Oh, I mean, you'll hear a rooster crow just periodically, every once in a while. Yeah.
Okay. So.
But no, I think
you can tell I didn't grow up on a farm.
Well, you know, I don't know who gave the rooster a watch anyway. How's he know sun's coming up? I guess he's looking. But very often, you know, their crowing is associated with sunrise, but it's also they'll crow for other reasons.
I didn't grow up on a farm, but I did have a billy goat when I was a kid. And I had a horse, a pony.
Okay.
So I was around them, and so, they were very spoiled.
It sounded like you were a little unsure a while ago when the guy called in with the
weathered
goat. Okay, well, that used to be a billy goat.
Okay.
His weather used to be a billy goat, but he's no longer a billy goat. So
they are good pets. I'll have to say that. Very lovable animals.
Goats can be. I mean, they're fun to watch. You know, yeah. just for pure entertainment. A baby goat is fun to watch. I mean, they jump and run and play, and just they're athletic critters. They can climb and jump and so on. They can be pretty entertaining.
I guess I was 7 or 8 years old, and the way this goat would stand up. Put his paws or
put his feet up,
on the fence and beg for you to come out in
beg,
the morning.
Talk about a rooster will a rooster will crow when it's time to feed, when it's time to eat. You get a goat used to being fed. They associate you coming out of the house with getting something to eat, and you get them trained that way. You walk out and they'll see they start bleeding
suddenly hungry.
Yeah, they start hollering at you, come feed me. Whether it's feeding time or not, they're ready.
And I understand that chickens are lovable, too.
You know what? I've seen folks who have hens that would sit on their shoulder, and they'd walk around with that hen up on their shoulder. And they'd come to them, you know, they'd talk. When I say they would come to them, the hens would come to the person that was raising them. And, you know, that person would sit there and just let the birds come around, and they'd kind of talk to each other and throw out a little feed here and there. And just, they can be... I won't say domesticated per se, but they can be calmed down a lot for sure.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Doing great, Mr. Barnes. Mr. Moat, I have a question for you, sir.
Okay.
That's interesting about your chickens and roosters and so forth, but, you know, they do crow to show dominance over the hens and let them know they're around. They crow almost any time of day, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they crow when another rooster comes around sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. They say, I'm the boss here.
Yes, sir.
Make sure you stay away.
You bet.
I had a question about my garden there, Mr. Moats.
Okay.
I've got lettuce and kale and spinach and tomatoes are blooming and 2 rows of sweet corn, but I've had problems with my okra this year. I planted it the first time without soaking the seeds or anything, and nothing came up.
Okay.
I soaked the seeds in water the second time, and nothing came up. Yesterday, I replanted again. Do you have anything that you soaked the seeds in that would encourage them to germinate, to come up, or anything of this nature?
No, if it's a viable seed to start with, then I mean, just soaking in water should be adequate. And they'll come up without being soaked in water. Soaking certainly does help them germinate faster. But if it's a good seed to start with, it doesn't require anything special.
Okay. Well,
are these old seed? Are they fresh seed?
Well, they're fresh out of the package, but they're not this year's seeds.
It might be interesting just to do if you still got some, just to do a germ check on them, to see if they're viable or not. You can do that right there at home. It's not hard.
How do you do that?
An easy way to do it is you just take a paper towel, get it good and wet, you know, wring it out, but so it's still good and damp, and maybe count out 10 seeds and lay them in a row there, and fold the towel over and over so you've got those seed trapped in that wet paper towel. And then use just a glass container of some sort, drinking glass is fine, and hang that wet paper towel on the side so that it hangs to the inside. It worked kind of like a candle wick so that the base of it is in contact with some water, so it will keep pulling that water up and keep that damp in there, and give it 10 days or so after soaking in that damp paper towel, and then open it up and see how many of them have started to germinate, if any. And you know, after 10 days, if you hadn't had any started to germinate, then I question the viability of that seed. And then, you know, after if you pull it out and say, okay, there's five seed out of this 10, well, it looks like about a 50% germination rate. So that's not a super germination rate. So then you'd think, well, if I'm going to use these seed, I need to plant heavier than I was anticipating otherwise. But that's a way you can check them.
Oh, okay. I'd never seen that done or anything. I've been fooling with gardens most of my life. But, I have soaked them in water. Somebody even told me about soaking them in buttermilk and kerosene, a little bit of everything, and I wondered if you had used anything to soak them.
I mean, I've soaked them in water a lot of times, and, you know, just let them soak overnight and plant them, it's worked fine. It doesn't need anything special. Kerosene, I don't know, was in the scheme of things when they invented okra seed, so... I don't know if that's not necessary, and I won't swear that it won't help, but you know what? I won't swear it wouldn't hurt either.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got my plants fixed up for your plant swap Saturday, too.
Yeah, that's glad you mentioned that. The Master Gardener Plant Swap is going to take place this Saturday at the Lane Agri Park. It's from 9 until noon, if I remember the schedule right, and it's a plant swap. It's not a sale. You can't buy anything. And you've got to swap plants for plants. So, you know, if you come there with no plants, you're probably going to leave with no plants because it's a swap. But you have plants ready to swap. Have them labeled, in containers and such so that somebody else can take it home with them and you be prepared to bring some back home with you. But that's this Saturday from 9 until noon there back at the community center area there at Lane Agri Park.
Same place the farmer's market is.
Same location the market's held, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've got seven of a hen and chickens, if you know what they are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they're in the pots and growing.
And I suspect somebody will swap you out of those.
Well, that's what I was thinking, some people, I knew a guy tried to buy some of them the other day, and they said, well, they're pretty expensive at Lowe's or Home Depot, wherever they were at. And I said, well, I've got seven for the plant swap. And I said, usually if I can get two or three plants, I'm doing pretty good. And so I try to go every year.
Yeah.
And
you might set a few of them back and see if you can't swap them for some dollar bills, too. There's nothing wrong with that either.
Well, I don't want to really do that.
Okay.
I've got some Alvera. I don't know if you know what they are. And I've got two big pots. And, of course, they put on lots of babies every year. And I've got to repot them, but I don't even know where to give them away or sell them or do anything with them or not.
Well, can you get them ready for the plant swap? I don't know how long it'll take you, but that might be an option for you.
Well, I've heard they said they got to be in dirt, viable, growing.
Yeah, they want them up and growing, yeah.
So these,
yeah.
They wouldn't, they
they're not ready
work
yet.
For that.
Okay.
Good
but,
luck to you.
Well, probably get them ready and call it on swapping shop one day.
Yeah,
you might
you
get rid of them that way.
I could do that, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to try that germination.
Yeah, do a check on them and just see. Yeah, it's interesting to do that. And you can do it with any seed. Of course, you know, the more seed you put in there, the better your math is going to be. But you can do, you know, just a few. I mean, a big seed like okra, 10 probably be sufficient. Smaller seeds, I would do a lot more than just 10.
That's what I was thinking, and I believe that's a heck of an idea, and I'm going to do that.
All right, sir.
Let us know how that works, too.
Y'all have a great day.
Yes, you hope you do.
Bye-bye. Our number is 615-893-1450, Swapping Ideas. This is an idea swap.
There you go.
As we prepare for the plant swap. And that's coming up Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. Friday is farmer's market. Saturday's a plant swap. My
gosh.
It's going
to be a big week, man.
You gotta eat good breakfast and rest up.
And get ready to have some fun.
There you go.
Yeah, there's something just about putting, whether you have a garden or not, putting out flowers, putting out trees, bushes, whatever. Those are fun things.
There's all manner of gardens, too.
Yeah.
I guess at one time, folks here in this part of the world, you mentioned garden, well, you automatically assume vegetable garden, but that's not the case anymore. A lot of a lot of folks are gardeners that don't grow a vegetable plant at all in their ornamental plants, and whether they're flowers and shrubs, you know, herbaceous perennial plants, woody ornamentals, and so on. But then there are also folks that will use edible plants as part of their landscape. So, you know, gardening can encompass a lot of different styles.
Let's talk with another friend this morning. 615-893-1450 is our number, and you're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was just calling for you to announce the fella that just called about the okra seed not coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell him the ground ain't warm enough. Okra likes hot, dry weather, and we've had too much rain. And also, he can soak them seed in Purex.
Purex, okay.
Straight Purex. It don't take much, but soak them about 5 minutes, and that will crack that little seed pod, and you'll see a little sprout of green. So before you plant them, pour after about 5 minutes, pour the bleach off and just sow his seed. But the ground ain't warm enough really yet for it to come up because it likes hot, dry weather.
When do you usually plant yours?
Oh, probably you could do it first of, maybe, I know it's almost the middle, but as soon as the ground gets about constantly about 80, 85 degrees. It needs to be warmer. It needs dry weather. It needs sunshine, and we've had too much rain.
Yeah. About to get some more, too.
I know it.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir.
You have a great day. Bye-bye. 615-893-1450. And sharing ideas.
Yeah, sharing ideas. Okra is a warm season crop. It's
I love okra.
It's good to eat. Good stuff. It's kind of like a cotton plant. Needs hot weather. And soil temperature will certainly influence the germination of those seed. And that certainly may have had an impact on his failure to germinate up to this point. But you know, soaking water is sufficient. You don't have to go so extreme as to soak it in something as harsh as bleach, but water will certainly do it. But you get the seed in the ground, viable seed in good temperature, and if it's a good seed to start with and the soil temperature is where it ought to be, it should germinate and grow. Folks have been doing it that way for a long time and have been able to raise good okra crops.
And that's one of those things, too, that if you have questions about raising any of these things, you could learn at the farmer's market.
All manner of classes will be taught there. You know, tomorrow's deals with backyard chickens, but there'll be classes pertaining to growing plants, growing ornamental plants, vegetable plants, you know, landscaping, just all sorts of topics.
And I was thinking also that the master gardeners are walking around.
Oh, you got the master gardeners have a display, an exhibit at every market session. They have information, fact sheets, and so on available to distribute to folks that want to pick them up, and they do their best to answer questions that people may have regarding you know, something that's going on in their particular garden or landscape back home, and it's a good way to meet folks and to, you know, pick up some information too.
Absolutely. Farmers Market opening for the season in the morning, 7 o'clock. 7 until noon tomorrow, and that free class at 9 in the morning at the Farmers Market. We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the traffic and weather. We're also going to give away our birthday goodies from Simply Pure Sweets Bakery and Cafe. Yep, going to do that next. Stay with us. Having a party up here.
All That's News with Matt Lane, weekday afternoon.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
Hi, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Being Drummer's Den, we have an exceptional amount of snare drums. We have cymbals, new and used, all types of cymbals. We have accessories. I have cajones, cowbells, sticks. It's all here, Music World and Drummer's Den. We're your hometown music store. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church, right across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
One of our biggest items on the menu has always been our soup at Demas's. The problem that we have had is that people have to wait in long lines when you're not feeling really good to get a soup. So we have created something that we call Soup Express. And it's different kiosks that we have with a separate line to be able to pick up soup, pay for it with a credit card, and take it home right away. The Soup Express is only for our quarts of soup or above, and with no other types of food. Nothing else is just when you want soup, and that's why we call it Soup Express. It's only at Demas's restaurants.
Time to say happy birthday to some folks out there. And the winner of our birthday club today will get their choice of either French macarons or a delicious cinnamon roll from Simply Pure Sweets Bakery and Cafe. If you've not been over there, you need to go over today, 118 North Walnut Street. In fact, why don't you head over for, if you haven't had breakfast yet, get some breakfast over there. And they also offer lunch in the cafe at Simply Pure Sweets, 118 North Walnut Street. Good morning and happy birthday to Joe Putnam from all your friends. Edgar Hernandez is having a birthday today. Also, Barbara McPeak, happy birthday from Kenny Fitzpatrick. Clarissa Grant Smith, happy birthday from your friends. And happy 54th anniversary to Alma Blackman from your husband, Ed. He says, I'm the luckiest man in the world. Karen Everhart, happy birthday from your buddies. Robbie McGoldrick, happy birthday from your neighbors. And Estelle Mullinex and Martha Hayes, happy birthday from your friends over at Dr. Sean Lancaster's office. Well, here comes the birthday fairy. Hear her in the background there. She's going to land on somebody today. Well, where is she going to land? All righty. Slowing down and came to a stop on Barbara McPeak. Barbara McPeak, our birthday winner today. Barbara gets her choice of either the French macarons or the delicious cinnamon roll from Simply Pure Sweets Bakery and Cafe at 118 North Walnut Street. I tell you, that is a fantastic place. Let's check on the traffic now.
Well, good morning. There's still heavy traffic out here, but it's moving right now on 24 westbound here at Bell Road up through the Hickory Hollow area as you continue towards Nashville. Not too bad at the moment as we take a look at the traffic here on Rutherford Boulevard getting onto Broad Street. It's still heavy at times there, coming inbound on Memorial, coming past the airport. Hey, make a living with a career that makes a difference. I'm talking about the Air Force. Log on now, airforce.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Thank you, Chuck. And while we're checking on things, let's take a look at that weather forecast brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the upper 70s. Winds out of the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 25. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 72.
Bazing and elite checking from First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives you more reasons to bank locally.
Dad, I'm at the movies and my car won't start.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Bazing has free 24/7 emergency road service.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, 615-494-4200. This is Freedom Wiggin from First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
News Radio WGNS is all about saving you money. Hear Clark Howard weekdays 11 to 1, Dave Ramsey 1 to 4, then Financial Coaching Radio at 4.
Go to tell and Mary Bond, Uncle John, he claimed me as a music buddy, had a lot of fun, oh baby, yeah, baby, woo, baby, have me some fun tonight, yeah, well, no toss down the sheet.
Little Richard gently bringing us back. That guy was something else.
Oh, he's, yeah.
And who lives right in this area, too.
Down kind of towards Lynchburg way, down that part of the world, I think.
We've got lots of people trying to influence him to come be on the show with us sometime.
Well, I hope he does.
That would be an honor.
What a neat deal.
Yeah. Our phone number, 6-way, if you know Little Richard, tell him he is wanted on the radio.
That's right.
Yeah, we would love to hear from him. 615-893-1450. If you have a lawn or garden question, give us a shout. If you can do an impersonation of Little Richard, a Little Richard song, call us too. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be neat,
well.
Yeah. 615-893-1450 is our number. And friends talking to friends, that's what we do every day. We're talking about lawns and gardens now. I want to remind you again, somebody's going to say, well, he just said that. Yeah. But somebody new probably just tuned in, and they don't know that tomorrow is the first day of farmers markets. So don't miss it.
That's right. First day of the Rutherford County Farmers Market. And, you know, just remind folks, it is a producer market. That means that the things that are being sold at the market, the vegetables that are grown, that are sold, are grown by the folks that are selling those. So it is a producer market. And it opens at 7 o'clock. It's from 7 until noon, beginning tomorrow. And it will run every Tuesday and Friday throughout the rest of the season.
And it's not limited to produce.
No, I mean, there are plants for sale, and there's some folks that will have cheese and milk and meat products, some baked goods, some breads, you know, honey, things like that. So it's the farmer's market. Got a lot of options there. So you get good stuff to eat. You go and learn something while you're there and visit with a lot of different nice folks.
9 o'clock, the class on raising
9 o'clock
chickens.
On backyard chickens. Yeah,
yeah,
backyard chickens. And, you know, a lot of folks are getting out when the weather allows them to. And there's been some decent weather here in the last little while. We had some good rain, you know, latter part of last week, I guess. But had a pretty good weekend, Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. I planted some more tomatoes last night there at home.
Well, what kind are you planting, just out of here?
I planted Jet Star and Supersonic.
Not familiar
varieties.
With Supersonic.
Well, they're kind of out of the same line.
Okay.
I think Supersonic may be a next generation Jet Star, but they're about from the same folks.
Okay. So if you have not planted your tomatoes,
oh, certainly not too late. You've got a long opportunity to plant tomatoes, as well as the other warm season crops. You know, get your corn out and your squash and your okra and the cucumbers and green beans and so on. It's certainly good time to do that. You know, warm season in the warm season vegetables, we're in that season of the year, and folks that have got them out, you know, the caller earlier had mentioned he had some tomatoes and all blooming. Well, I've got some of my earlier set tomatoes. Yeah, they're blooming and things are growing pretty good. You need to start paying attention to them and scouting for pests. It's not uncommon at all for people with tomato plants and other vegetable plants that get a good start on them this time of the year to start maybe and a little bit later into May to start to see some spots and so on develop on foliage. Well, those are typically caused by fungal diseases. It's better to be proactive when it comes to dealing with those, because you know, those diseases are caused by fungi. They're fungal diseases, and the organisms are out there in the environment. They're opportunistic, and when you've got the pathogen that will cause a disease in the same place at the same time that there is a host that will support the disease, and the weather conditions or just the physical conditions are such that support disease development, then it will happen. Okay, so you got tomato plants, you've got other vegetable plants out there. A lot of those can be susceptible to a variety of diseases. The diseases, the organisms are in nature, they're out there, and then conditions are becoming more conducive for disease development. What is that? Well, when humidity levels start to increase, when you've got a lot of free moisture, when at nighttime, when it doesn't cool off as much and it stays warm all night long, those are the conditions that when those three things come together, then you start seeing those diseases show up. So to be proactive about it, you start to treat those susceptible plants with a fungicide to help prevent the disease from developing in the first place, because fungicides don't do a very good job of curing diseases. They do a much better job of preventing diseases. So if you've got tomatoes, other plants out there, you've had problems with the early blight on tomatoes before, or some other issue with them, and you're growing them in the vicinity of where you grew them last year, well, you know, this, the odds are it could happen again. So be proactive about that, and do something to help minimize the development of those diseases.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Mitchell Moat. How are you today?
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing good, sir. How are you?
Good. I'm still trying to find out somebody to tell me what my walnut trees are worth.
What your walnut trees are worth?
Yeah.
Are you going to try to sell them or what?
Yeah, I got six walnut trees in my yard, and I've got about 18 trees on a 2-acre lot here, and that's too many trees, but I got six walnut trees, and I was just trying to find out if they're worth what they're worth, you mm-hmm. know. And,
how big are they? How tall are they?
They're tall. They're about just about 50 feet, if they're maybe more, you know, in there. Might be 70 feet. I don't know. You know, I ain't got no way to tell how tall they are. But
okay.
They're big trees.
Mitchell, well, that'd be sort of hard to move, wouldn't it? Or is it? I don't know.
Well, he's not wanting to move them. He's just...
He's wanting to sell them, though.
Yeah, he's wanting to sell them as lumber.
Oh, okay. I took that the wrong way.
He's looking at selling, okay. You know, selling his crop, having it harvested. Have you talked to a forester?
This man in Chivo, Chris Carney.
Yeah.
I've called him about four or five times and left messages and everything. He don't never return my call.
Yeah, he's the Division of Forestry area forester for this area. He covers Rutherford and a few other counties.
Return my call, though.
Yeah, I don't. I suspect he probably stays pretty busy. Would be my guess. I don't know. You know, it's for six trees. I'll be honest with you. It would be It would be hard, I guess, for a large commercial concern to be interested in six trees, simply because it's not much to it. Have you advertised them on Swap and Shop, the local Swap and Shop show, that you've got these trees and you're entertaining bids on those for somebody to come by and take a look at them and that are interested in buying them for woodworking or whatever the case may be?
Well, I couldn't do that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it takes somebody that has the ability to measure the tree, to estimate the amount of volume in the tree, so they can estimate the height and estimate the number of logs and come up with some idea of how many board feet of lumber potentially those trees are going to have. And then, based on that, then they come up with, kind of what prices have averaged on good quality walnut lumber. I have no idea what those prices are, how they have averaged across the state. Another option would be to contact a private forester. What would be called a consulting forester. They're a business person. They're in business for themselves. And they, people with tracts of lumber, typically that's what they do. If they have a tract of timber, not tracts of lumber, but if they have a few acres of timber that they want to get valuated in preparation for sale, then they'll typically contact a consulting forester, and that forester then will work with them and do an inventory of what's out there and an estimated volume of lumber that can be harvested from that. Now, offhand, I don't know any contact information for a consulting forester. I do have some of that information in a file back at the office, and if you would be interested in getting some contact information for a consulting forester, if you'd like to call them, then give me time to get back to the office later on today, or just call over there and leave your name and your phone number, tell them that you're wanting to get some contact information for a consulting forester. I'll be glad to get that for you and share it with you.
Okay. I guess that's what I'll have to do then.
Okay. All right. Well, just you know, get if I'm not there when you call, and I'm in and out a fair amount this time of year. But if I'm not there, just leave your name and your contact information, and you're looking for a consulting forester.
Just have to just tell them want to talk to Michael Moat.
Yes, that'd be fine. Just talk to Mitchell Moat, and if I'm not there, then they'll get your they'll probably send you to voicemail, and you say tell me who you are, your phone number, and you're trying to contact a consulting forester.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
Good luck to you. I'd never heard that about foresters before, so they can help determine what is the proper way to raise the trees or
well, I mean,
to foresters, cut them down
they,
or whatever.
You know, that's what a forester is. A forester is someone who is trained in the, you know, in the science and art of mm-hmm. growing trees, you know, silviculture.
And so each region has one that's officially appointed, or is that how?
Well, the state of Tennessee, the Department of Agriculture, has a division of forestry as a part of that because the state has forest resources. Mm-hmm. You know, some mm-hmm. of those are owned by the state. And, you know, over half of Tennessee is forested, so it's an it's a big resource in the state of Tennessee. Hardwood industry is a pretty big chunk in the state's economy on an annual basis. So the state of Tennessee, through the Department of Agriculture and through the Division of Forestry, which is part of the Department of Agriculture, have people who work in the Division of Forestry, and one of those classes of people are area foresters. And there are a number of, I don't know how many areas the state's broken up into, but Rutherford County is part of an area, and a forester is assigned to that area. And again, Rutherford County, Bedford County, they're in the same area. As a matter of fact, the area forester, his office is in Bedford County. And is his office phone number is a Bedford County phone number, if I remember right. But and he covers more than just two counties. So, you know, that being said, he's probably busy as a one-legged man in a kicking contest most of the time because, you know, he covers a lot of area. And individuals like this gentleman here, you know, he's looking to try to have the value of six walnut trees estimated. And, you know, that's kind of hard to do sometimes because who's going to buy six trees? You know, it's a big difference
would
between buying 600.
Know?
Well, the forester might have some idea. He may not know because it's probably easier for somebody to buy six. There's probably a larger market for somebody looking for 600 trees versus mm-hmm. buying mm-hmm. six mature trees to cut down.
How much could you do with six trees, I wonder?
Depends
you
on how
couldn't,
big the tree
couldn't
is.
Build a house, I don't
No,
guess.
No, and you're probably not talking about it. You know, you're not going to build a house out of walnut anyway, but you're, you know, furniture making, woodworking, making pieces of furniture, that sort of thing. Typically, that's what those things are for.
So if you had a really good woodworker, they would love to get something like that.
If they wanted to work in walnut, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it means it's, so you go out, you cut the tree down, well, boom, it's not ready to use. It's got to be sawed into lumber. The lumber's got to be cured, dried, you know, so that it is in a form ready to start working. But potential's there, yeah.
Do we still have sawmills around who do that? I guess we do. I mean, you don't see as many of them.
Not as many as there used to be.
And is that who you'd go to?
Well, that would be a place, yeah, because somebody's got to cut it down, and it could be that the sawmill operator will buy logs, will buy trees, and they'll saw them into lumber and turn around and sell them to folks. Sure, that's an option.
And walnut's an pretty option. Popular for that.
Well, walnut is used in furniture making and woodworking, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
It is. You know, another, there could be a woodworker out there that has their own sawmill, a portable sawmill, a bandsaw mill. I mean, there are such things that say they run across the option of getting a, you know, a nice quality tree of this species or that species. Well, they jump on that, they harvest that tree, and they create their own lumber.
All right.
So there's different options out there, and I don't know which one's available to this gentleman.
And so you're giving him some good information.
Well, we're going to try. Yeah, going to try.
All righty. Our phone number, if you need some good information, 615-893-1450. Don't forget, Farmers Market opens for the season in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning over at the Lane Agri Park, 7 until noon tomorrow, and then it's open every Friday and Tuesday. The Farmers Market. Hey, we're going to check on the weather. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him the word that I'm not a rover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, I'm so alone.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op, 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church. Come see us for all your spring needs. We have everything we need to make your yards beautiful, to make your gardens grow, to make your animals healthy. And we have great gift and clothing ideas, too. So come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. And remember, you don't have to be a member to shop with us. The Rutherford Farmers Co-op is located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Dr. Sean Lancaster, custom fits your hearing aid.
People comment all the time that they are very pleased that they were able to try the hearing aids. And we try to offer products ranging in price, all the way from entry level all the way to premium. So we try to match the best product we can for someone's budget.
Hear better. See Dr. Sean Lancaster.
I depend on Dr. Sean Lancaster.
We are at 608 East Clark Boulevard, close to the MTSU campus.
When you visit Hoover Paint Store, you'll see that many of our customers have been doing business with us for years. Why?
Because they know we have the finest quality of paint, a knowledgeable staff, and treat every customer special. Hoover Paint Store has the paint you need to make any project shine. If it's not worth painting, call Neil's Dozer Service. They'll tear it down.
I'm Tim Bowen, and I'll invite you to visit our family business, Hoover Paint Store, on the corner of Memorial and Loki, or visit us online at www.hooverpaint.com.
We'll see a few scattered showers and thunderstorms here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the upper 70s. Winds out of the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 25. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 72.
This is Jeff Graham with Tire World. I want to invite you to visit our new off-road department at our Memorial Boulevard location, featuring lift kits, leveling kits, light bars, as well as wheel and tire packages. Just come by and ask for Gator for all your off-road needs. That's Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
Weekdays at 5, it's all sports talk with Monty Hill Jr. and Tim Tackert. Here on WGNS, we're local, we know sports.
So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel you, boy. Come on, let's go, real slow. Don't you see, baby, I see us perfect.
Welcome back. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. If you have a question dealing with lawns and gardens, or chickens, or the farmer's market, we'll take them all, even cutting trees. Mitchell is here. He's just a huge
We'll try to tell you something. Hopefully it'll be relatively accurate anyway. One thing, Bart, I want to mention is a timely sort of thing, I guess, for folks that are managing home lawns, whether it's a warm season or a cool season lawn. You know, crabgrass is the probably rated across the United States as the number one warm season weed that appears in home lawns, and a lot of folks try to minimize, and rightly so, they try to minimize the populations of crabgrass in those home lawns by using pre-emergent products in the early springtime prior to crabgrass seed germination. And sometimes they're able to get it out in a timely manner prior to seed germination, get it activated so that it does what it's supposed to do. And other times they don't. They miss. Maybe they didn't get a good application out there, did not get a uniform application, it wasn't timely, or they didn't get one at all. So at that point, you know, crabgrass is germinating right now. if you had a spot in your lawn last year with crabgrass on it and you didn't do anything to prevent that crabgrass from being there, I promise you, if you go and look right now, you're going to find crabgrass seedlings out there. They're up and growing. Now, the thing when it comes to crabgrass control is the younger that plant is, the smaller it is. Once it emerges, once it germinates and begins to grow, the easier it's going to be to control with a post-emergent product. Post-emergent is one that's applied after the seed has germinated and the weed, in this case, the crabgrass plant, has started to grow. So if controlling crabgrass is a goal for anyone managing a home lawn and it's up and growing, then now is a good time to think about making an application of a post-emergent product, a crabgrass control product. And there are a variety of those that are out there available to homeowners. But and the thing to remember is that every day you wait, it just grows a little bigger, a little bigger, and it gets to a point where those post-emergent products aren't nearly as effective as they would have been had you applied them when the grass was smaller, when the crabgrass was smaller. Now, crabgrass can germinate all season long, and all season, I mean up until, you know, September. So, does that mean you've got to keep applying the post-emergent products every week or every 2 weeks, whatever the case may be? Well, that is an option. But another option is, so if you didn't get a crabgrass pre-emergent out and you've got crabgrass that's germinating now, you could make a combination at this point of a post-emergent product that has efficacy against emerged crabgrass, and also combined with a pre-emergent to have efficacy against future emergence for the rest of the summer. So that is an option. But now, just to say I can put out a crabgrass preventer now and solve my crabgrass problems for the year, no, that's not going to work, because you already got crabgrass up and growing. It will have no impact on that emerged crabgrass. But in combination with a post-emergent product that has efficacy against emerged crabgrass, then that is a viable option and can be very successful.
Okay, and that's a good way to get rid of crabgrass, which is a natural thing this time of the year in this area.
It's seasonal, and we are in the season. You know, it is a warm season annual grass weed. Well, it's a weed if you consider it a weed. Most people don't plant crabgrass. Okay, they plant tall fescue, they plant Bermuda grass, etc.
Are there people who do want crabgrass?
Well, in their lawns, you know, there may be. I've never met one that did, but there may be. Now, there are folks that grow. There are forage varieties of crabgrass that livestock producers will plant because it makes an excellent feed.
Okay.
It's a good forage crop for livestock. But now, are there people that want crabgrass in their lawn? Compared to bare dirt, yeah, I'd really have crabgrass.
Does it cut and look like grass?
It is grass.
It is.
It is grass. Just a different kind of grass. It's a broadleaf grass. It's nothing very fine textured. You know, it's very coarse textured. Broadleaf.
So if you had it, you could make it look good.
Well, you keep it cut short. Crabgrass looks better cut short than it does standing tall. I'll say that about it.
Okay.
And it will cover the ground and make it very dense. Can be very dense. It dies every year. It frosts. It's an annual.
It's a warm season,
though. It's a warm season. It's just like Bermuda grass. It's like Bermuda grass from the standpoint it grows during the same time of the year. It grows in hot weather. It's also like Bermuda grass in that it does not grow in the wintertime. So if you had crabgrass as your primary turf, then, you know, come frost, boom, it's gone for the year. And you're just going to have whatever junk grows in the wintertime come back and cover it up because, you know, nature is not going to leave that ground bare out there.
So that could give you something to talk about tomorrow.
Some people have, they grow, you know, two crop. They'll double crop. They'll have a crop of warm season weeds and a crop of cool season weeds. And that's okay. You know, if that suits you, that suits me. But there are other alternatives, though.
Find those alternatives at the farmer's market tomorrow. Talk to one of the master gardeners. Farmer's market opens in the morning, 7 o'clock, 7 until noon. The first of the season, you need to be there. Mitchell Moat, thank you for joining us.
All right, Bart, it's been my pleasure.
Truman's next on WGNS Murfreesboro. Hey, have a good day. Then we kissed